Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Locked On Yankees podcast. I'm Amari Brown, and I'll be your host for this episode, breaking down all news and notes that are affecting our beloved New York Yankees. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, and give me a follow, too, while you're at it, at Amari Brown, that's O-M-A-R-I-I, Brown. We've got an excited episode ahead for you guys. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to touch on the Astros-Yankees series. The Yankees are the hottest team in baseball right now, winning 12 of their last 13. They took 3 out of 4 from the defending champs at their home stadium, so it's a great time. Everyone's really excited, but even though the Yankees took 3 out of the 4, they did lose Jordan Montgomery, so you know it's kind of a give and a take right there. But I actually had the chance to speak with Scranton Rail Riders beat writer Tommy Romanelli. So we had a great conversation about who could possibly replace Jordan Montgomery. I know that Aaron Boone, the manager, has already said that Domingo Germán will step into that role. But as we've seen, you know, it's been a recurring theme of this young season. Guys are dropping like flies. So I wanted to pick Tommy's brain a little bit about who could possibly, you know, who should we be paying attention to as far as the starters. Is he surprised about the play of Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar? And we just talked a lot of about, you know, what the Yankees could possibly, the moves that they could possibly be making. We talked about the possible conundrum with Brandon Drury. So I hope you guys really enjoyed the conversation that me and Tommy had. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Scranton Rail Riders beat writer Tommy Romanelli. He's the beat writer with Pinstripe Prospects, and he covers the Rail Riders. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Weather's finally warming up. Baseball season's right in the middle of, you know, starting to warm up, and everything's great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad to have you, man, because, you know, there's a lot of exciting things going on with the Yankees right now. They just took 3 or 4 from the Astros, and things are really starting to look up, but even though things are starting to look up, they are still battling a lot of injuries. And, you know, your team, the team that you cover, you know, the team that you're the expert on, that's where we go for reinforcement. So we definitely just want to talk to you a little bit about that, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So everyone knows that Jordan Montgomery is now on the DL. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a flexor strain in his pitching arm. And although, you know, Boone said that Domingo Germán is going to be the starter, you know, at least for the next start. He's scheduled to start Sunday against the Cleveland Indians. I wanted to pick your brain because after Germán, we know that Chance Adams has struggled a little bit. If people don't know, Adams had a procedure in the offseason, so that's probably why his performance has kind of been up and down and teetering a little bit. I wanted to pick your brain on, you know, who else do the Yankees have? Because there's not that many guys left on the 40-man roster that can be contributors at this point. So I want to know, besides Adams, who else should we be looking at as a possible rotation replacement?
Yeah, well, going into the season, you know, for as stacked as the Yankees looked like they were going to be, everybody knew that this was going to be the one concern, you know, throughout the year. It just, the pitching depth just wasn't there this year, and, you know, Sessa went down, and, you know, Green transitioned to the bullpen full-time, so their emergency pitchers are not there like they thought they would be, you know, maybe last year coming into the offseason. But in terms of the Rail Riders starting rotation, to be honest with you, they're kind of hurting because you have a guy like Brody Corner, who's been in the rotation, who actually has been doing a pretty good job. I think he's probably at the very bottom of the list. Maybe second to last, other than the next guy that I'll mention, which is Daniel Camarena. I think those guys are just there to get some innings in AAA. So I mean, that's two of their five starters right there. Besides for Adams, you know, who you did mention, you know, definitely still trying to work back from that injury. The command isn't there, and the arm strength isn't there for him right now. So you know, they need him to turn that around before they could even consider bringing him up. But right now, I would say the two strongest options is a guy who's actually been killing it, who's been flying under the radar for a couple of years now, and that's Josh Rogers. I think that if anybody needs to get called up in the rotation, it's got to be him. And, you know, you don't think of his name right off the top of your head, just because he's not one of these top prospects. But I remember first game of the season, the Yankees ended up having to call up Sessa and someone else at the time. And that put a spot in the Rail Riders rotation, just a huge hole, because Sessa was supposed to start the second game of the year. And I think it was at 1 o'clock in the morning, Josh Rogers got the call from Tommy Phelps, that's in the Rail Riders pitching coach, and said that he was going to be starting that day. And he came in the first inning, and I was able to watch him, and he was a little wild around the plate. He was walking a lot of guys, and he was up in the zone a lot. But after that first inning, he settled right down, and he honestly hasn't looked back. He's been the best pitcher for the Rail Riders by far this year. He's a guy that works very quickly on the mound. He attacks the hitters. His slider is very good. His fastball is not going to overwhelm you because it's only about 88 to 91 miles an hour. But when he's got his secondary pitchers working, he could use that to set them up. And he just needs to locate that, and that really determine or what kind of outing he's going to have. And he's just been outstanding. So if anybody has absolutely earned that spot, the first place I would look is Josh Rogers. Secondly, is a guy who you probably don't expect to be there anytime soon, but the Justice Sheffield just got called up to AAA because he's been absolutely killing it in AA. So he'd probably be second on the list just because of the lack of depth in the Rail Riders rotation at the moment. But, yeah, I mean, he's been lights out in AAA. Everybody knows what he can do. His stuff is outstanding. And I think that most likely, if they need to get another guy on the mound, it'll probably be Sheffield, just because I don't know if the Yankees have that full trust in Josh Rogers yet.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that Josh Rogers is still coming back from injury, so I got a chance to see him in minor league spring training, and he got roughed up a little bit against the Blue Jays AAA affiliate. But I did, there's two things that I liked about the guys that you just said. One, they're both left-handed. And two, I know both of those guys work quickly. Now, Sheffield has electric stuff, and on any given day, he can give you an ace-like outing, so I do like that. But do you think that they're going to rush his development a little bit? Because Sheffield has had some durability issues. We know that the stuff and the talent is there, but do you think that they're going to rush, increase and speed up his clock that much? We know how the Yankees are with developing pitchers.
Honestly, I think if he does get called up within the next month or two, it's going to be out of necessity and not because they want to. I think that the Yankees want him to stay in AAA and get his seasoning and get used to facing probably a little bit more experienced hitters. So I don't think that's what they want to do right now. I just don't know if they have another choice, because like I said, I mean, unless you're just going to call up a Camarena and just hope he gives you 4 or 5 innings, that's definitely a possibility. And actually, I apologize because I did forget to mention Nestor Cortes, who came back to the Yankees from the Orioles. He actually could probably be a solid candidate to come up as well. Another left-handed thrower. The Rail Riders are loaded with them right now. But I agree that they're not going to want to call up Sheffield right now, but again, it might be out of necessity at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I was a big fan of Nestor Cortes, and I thought he was actually going to stick with the Orioles too. So I would. He's another guy that you just root for. Another guy that's not really going to overpower you. Probably, stay within that 88 to 90 range, but he works quickly and he locates well. Why do you think that Nestor really hasn't been given the opportunity to make his debut with the Yankees?
Well, I think that up to this point, at least last year, because he was with the Rail Riders for a while last year, Nestor was just a victim of the depth chart and the hype of everyone else around him. He was another guy that flew under the radar. He's very, you're absolutely correct. He's a guy who's going to do it with his location, and he's going to just try to command the strike zone, and that's how he's going to be successful. But I think up to this point, he hasn't really, there wasn't a need for him. And I think you also saw when he was with the Orioles, there's a reason why he was back. He really didn't get to put it together for them. So I think that he's going to need a little bit more seasoning, you know, a guy like Jordan Montgomery, even who were the reason why we're talking about all this, would probably not even be up at this point if it wasn't for how dominating he was at the AAA level the year previous. So I think it's important for Nestor to do well here at AAA, and if he can get off on, you know, onto a nice roll, then if the need comes, then he'll get his opportunity. But I think that that's the only way that he's going to make his case to be up there. You know, he's pitched a little bit over four innings for Scranton so far, and he really hasn't done well. He's given up five earned runs, and it's just in the one start that he made. Now, obviously, that's just one start, but a guy like him, you have to do well in order to earn your call-up.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. The reason I talk about all these pitching prospects is because, you know, injuries are going to happen and guys have been dropping like flies. Luckily, the Yankees, you know, it's next man up and it's on to the next play and it's on to the next guy, so it's been great. The reason that I want to talk about these pitching prospects is because I think that, you know, the lack of depth, because the Yankees, they've been tried. Their depth has been tried since spring training. So I think that, as we start to get, as the shed starts to get barren, the Yankees are going to start having to move some of their assets. So then I wanted to talk about Clint Frazier a little bit, because I think that this is going to affect him. So Frazier was just promoted, as if you guys don't know, Frazier was just promoted to Scranton a few days ago. Tommy hasn't had a chance to look at him this year, but he's had extensive looks at him last year. So he started in center field tonight. And I want to know, do the Yankees actually view him as an option playing center field? Because he hasn't played since he came over in the trade, the blockbuster trade for Andrew Miller. So are they just, you know, showcasing him for other teams?
No, I actually think they're playing him there so that he's versatile in case they need him to play a center field. I think we saw earlier in the year, the Yankees would have loved to have Frazier, and he probably would have played a little bit of center field instead of like a Shane Robinson or Chase Peterson that was out there. I think that we see the thing that a lot of people don't realize is when Frazier was with the Indians organization, he actually was their center fielder over there in the minors. So it's not a position that he's new to. He probably does need to get a little bit more time there just because he hasn't played there in a year and a half, but it definitely, I think he's got the speed to do it. He has the arm to do it. He's still working on it for sure. He's not a gold glove center fielder. I think right now he's a little bit better suited for the corner outfield spots, but with all the injuries that have come around, the Yankees need all of their depth to be as versatile as possible so that when you don't have a Hicks in the lineup, and Hicks has been injury prone himself, or you want to say Gardner, he's been in a slump now, then you could plug a guy like Frazier in there so that you're not killing too many spots on the team. And then the other thing you have to realize is that if Frazier's in the majors, if they do give him that call-up, and it's a day where they need Stanton to be in left field and Judge to be in right field, then they need him to play center field if he needs him in the lineup. So I think that's probably ultimately the biggest reason why he's playing center field now. But I think he can do it for sure.
Yeah, my thing with Frazier is I know that he has the athletic tools. The guy, he runs like a stallion. He's super athletic. You know, he's well put together. My only thing is that he takes bad routes to the ball. You know, I think the reason that he suffered the concussion is because, you know, he didn't know where he was, and that's why he banged into the wall like that. Granted, it was a great play, and he's always playing hard. So I think that, you know, I thought that they would have used him in center field a little bit more. I know that Dustin Fowler was the better outfielder of the two last year. That's why he wasn't playing there. So that's why my thinking is that, you know, that being that he's actually, you know, playing center field now, because remember, he told Boone that he could play in spring training, you know? So I was just thinking that maybe that this is just them, you know, showcasing him for anyone else who might be interested in a former top 100 prospect, so they can probably recoup and get some more pitching depth. So, but you know, it's good to hear your take on it.
Yeah, and you're right on that. I agree with the fact that he doesn't take the best routes to the ball. And as far as trade bait goes, if he could prove he could play center field, obviously that's not going to hurt. And I think that that's the big thing with Frazier right now is when he's playing the outfield, he does look really awkward doing it sometimes. Like, he makes these amazing plays out there, but sometimes he's making them because he needs to, because of, like you said, a bad route or something like that, or a bad jump. It's a work in progress, it is, but if he has the tools to do it, he just needs to get the instincts down.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. And when I say that, you know, I want Clint Frazier to stick around. I'm, you know, a self-proclaimed prospect hugger. I want to hoard all of our prospects, and I want them to do great, you know, in pinstripes. But, you know, you have to think realistically. And, you know, the Yankees, they have a glut, of outfielders right now and a glut of power right-handing pitching. So if you're going to trade, you got to trade from an organizational strength. So that's just my thinking on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will go on record, and I believe I've said it on the Pinstripe Prospects podcast before. He doesn't get as much hype as he deserves, I don't think, because he's probably one of my, you know, top, like right behind Glaber and Florial. I probably would have put Frazier in the prospects. I really think he has the ability to be a five-tool player. And yet, even to this day, with the way that Gerrit Cole is, you know, mowing hitters down in Houston, I really still would not make that trade, because I think eventually Frazier's going to end up being a very important part of that lineup and a good outfielder for them as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree just on the tools alone. And we saw what he was able to do with a hitch in his swing last year against major league pitching. You know, before he hurt his oblique, he was producing at least at a major league average level. And I'm a huge fan of Frazier. My only thing is, I just thought that Cole would better suit this team. You know, I think that, you know, as we see now, CeCe's already been to the DL and Monty's going to miss almost 2 months. You know, you slot Cole in, that would have probably been good. Now, you know, we don't know if the Yankees pitching and if the Yankees analytics team would have been able to figure out whatever Houston's doing. Maybe they got the different brand of pine tar. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I me wanting to trade Frazier and me wanting to, you know, lobbying for another pitcher during the offseason had nothing to do with, you know, Jordan Montgomery or Clint Frazier. I think that they're both great players. I just thought that Gerrit Cole would have helped this team more. But, you know, he's on the Astros and we just took 3 or 4 from the Astros, so it's all good.
Yeah, and trust me, Cole would have taken this team to an entirely different level. So, I mean, it's... there was a lot of question marks about him so far in a hitter's ballpark. He's been performing outstandingly. So, I mean, who knows what have been, but I think that right now, you know, we'll see how it plays out. The Yankees will probably still go after a pitcher at some point. But the depth is the concern. You're absolutely right in terms of the pitching. So we'll just have to see what happens with that.
Yeah. I have no doubt. Brian Cashman is not going to, all of his chips, I won't say that all of his chips are to the middle of the table, but he probably only has 1 or 2 left. Brian Cashman does not want this to fail, especially with the way that this team is looking right now. Like you can never know. Look at the Dodgers and look at the Cubs for the most part. You never know how, you know, when your window really is. You know, people assume and people project when your window is, but if you have an opportunity like the Yankees have right now, the way that they're looking and clicking on all cylinders, you have to make every move possible to make sure that you just take advantage of the team that you have currently.
Yeah, and I mean, you're starting to see that, and this actually is kind of good with all these injuries. I mean, obviously you never want to have injuries like that in a season, especially early on when you need to get guys in and out to keep them fresh. You don't want the injuries. But if there's a silver lining, the Yankees are facing a ton of resilience, a ton of like pressure and like they're showing that they're resilient. And that's going to play well in September and October, because they're going to be used to having their backs against the wall. They're going to used to have to grind it. Like, it, in a way, the way that they've come out of the gate is a little bit more character building for a team than if they just have been, you know, killing it every single day. So it's nice to see what kind of powerhouse they've had with so many holes right now. So, I mean, it's a team that's for real. And you're right, when GMs start to sniff that they're going to be contenders, and you know, Cashman, I'm sure, has been dreaming about this since March already. He's probably already, you know, looking at what pitcher's probably going to be available. So something's coming. It'll just be a matter of when.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I want to talk about that too. I think that them, like, struggling, and I'm doing air quotes right now because they struggled to be only .500 after 18 games. I think that made them closer. You know, because, you know, coming into the season, they went from being the hunters to the hunted, and everyone was blowing smoke, you know, and And I think they probably came out and they were probably feeling themselves a little bit. You know, they a lot of new pieces they're trying to get together. I think them, you know, being questioned and all the injuries kind of probably got them, you know, to gel a little bit quicker, because then you kind of develop that attitude like, all right, man, if you know, people are just giving up on us this quickly, you know, we just gotta go out and perform for ourselves. You know, we know what we can do. Now we just gotta do it. So I think do you think that the slow start is actually helping them now?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're right. I mean, there was a lot of hype on the team coming in, especially after what they did last year when nobody expected them to. So everybody, in fact, I mean, not even this year. Once you saw, you know, they got Giancarlo and how they performed. Ever since Gleyber Torres started to show that he was a top-flight prospect, like 2 or 3 years ago, I remember everybody was saying 2018 is the year for the Yankees. That's the year that they're going to put it together. It's the year all the young guys can be up, and you know, that's the year it's going to be fun to watch. Similar to how they said the Cubs were 2016, and the Astros actually 2017. So far, that's all played out, but. So I think that it was kind of important for them to have their backs against the wall, because it was kind of a wake-up call. You know what I mean? They killed it in spring training. They floated right into the season. Not too much controversy there. And then when you come out of the gate and you struggle like that and you don't feel good about it, and your best hitter on the team, you know, Giancarlo, is not hitting, you have to find different ways to win. And if you're doing that early, that's going to play really well for when they're at full strength later in the season.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad that you brought up Gleyber. Gleyber Mania has officially taken over the Yankees nation. I don't know if the entire nation yet, but definitely. The Yankees are 11-1 since his call-up, and it's just been amazing. And what's actually brought joy to my prospect heart is actually seeing how he and Miguel Andujar have, I think that they've balanced the lineup a little bit, because they make contact at a high rate. And I think that although this lineup has the potential to be a legit juggernaut, there's a lot of guys with swing and miss in their game. So I think guys that make contact and hit line drives like Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar are just really crucial to this team. And you've seen what they've been able to do, you know, together over the last, you know, week and a half. But well, two parts. Are you surprised at how comfortable Gleyber looks right now?
Yeah, I actually am. And the reason why I am is because, yeah, I mean, he really has had no time at AAA, because he came up for like a month last year, I remember, and then he got hurt and he was out for the entire season. And I mean, to be honest with you, the year before that, in AA, he really didn't have that much time. But I guess when you're 21 years old and you're already in the majors, like, you're not going to have that much time. But I thought that he was going to need more seasoning, but he really is putting together these big league at-bats. And for a guy that's only really been seeing professional breaking balls for not even a full season, I think that it's been incredible how the kind of plate discipline he's had and the kind of, like, big league at-bats that he's really putting on, because he really never had to face that up until now. So I think that is something that's just been, you know, very impressive to him, probably the most impressive to me since he became a player in our system. But I think that you're right that there's too many swing and miss guys in the Yankees lineup. So having a guy that's going to put on those good at-bats, and, you know, even Andujar, for what he, you know, he's a very violent swinger, but he really doesn't strike out that much. It's really important for the lineup. I personally am not a fan of strikeouts. I think that teams in the postseason are more likely to get those big hits if you have more contact guys in the lineup than if you have guys who are going to strike out a lot. I think that's just a rally killer, and even though it's two outs for one, I think I'd rather a double play than a strikeout sometimes. But I think that it's been huge for the Yankees lineup, and really what's been important, they're filling this role that I thought that Neil Walker was going to fill early on, where when you got to the bottom of the order, you really didn't know what you were going to get between Tyler Wade and Neil Walker and, you know, guys like that, and Drury even. But I thought that those guys were going to be the guys to get on base and try to set it up for Gardner and Judge and Stanton and Sanchez. But that's Glaber and Andujar are filling that role amazingly. And I think that that's really rounded out the Yankees lineup. It gives everybody else a little bit of a breather, and it allows them to just relax and hit more.
Definitely, definitely. Because I agree with you, because if you look at the rally that they put together today, it was the bottom of the lineup. And they did it without hitting the home run, and that's great. It was all singles, it was a walk, and it was just really great to see. Now, you got to see Andujar a lot. Is the bat for real?
Yeah, I think it is. And I will say, initially, I was a little skeptical. Just because when you're watching him up close, his bat is, like, his swing is just so violent. And when you see that, and sometimes, like, it's so violent that he does look bad on a couple pitches. But what I think makes him stand out from a guy like, because I heard somebody compare him to Michael Franco from the Phillies, and because he has a similar swing. They're very violent. But usually when you have a swing like that, you're going to get a lot of strikeouts, you're going to get a lot of swing and misses. But Andujar's plate discipline really is what allows him to do what he can do, because when those guys make contact, I mean, they're crushing the ball. But like I said, they strike out a lot, they swing and miss a lot. He really doesn't do that. So that's why I think that this bat is for real, and you're going to see him, you know, probably, I mean, the power is just going to get better too. So like, this is what you're seeing now is not even what he could normally do. Like, a lot of those balls are going to go out. So that's why I think that the bat really is for real for him.
So now that basically Glaber has solidified second base, I think he's going to be around for the next 10 to 15 years, honestly. And Andujar has solidified third base because he actually, you know, the knock on Andujar's game was the glove. And the glove hasn't hurt the Yankees at all. Where does this leave Brandon Drury?
You know, that's been an amazing question, because I'll tell you what, I've seen him play down here, and I think he's ready to come back up. I think that the Yankees are stalling because I don't think they know. Because what do you do with him? You can't DH him. And how do you justify taking Andujar out of the lineup? Like, I agree with you. They weren't calling Gleyber Torres up to, you know, come be a utility player or get sent back down. He's there for the long run, and he's earned his spot there. So he, you know, why move him? I think that he's just got to come up, and he's just going to be like more of the best use would be more of a Ben Zobrist type, where they're going to move him around and get guys more days off and just plug him in wherever they're going to get a day off. First base might be a possibility, but I think that's the most natural fit. But just by looking at it, number one, I don't know who you even think about sending down, because you got Tyler Austin, he's killing it. You have, you're not going to send Torres down. He's probably the most valuable player on the team sometimes. And right now, I guess you would have to send a pitcher down because they're already rolling with a short bench. But the thing that's been interesting to me is that they've only been playing Drury at third base in AAA. So, and the Yankees have just constantly said, like, no, he's a third baseman, that's where we want him to be, and they've been 100% behind the talent that they think he has. And honestly, I think that they're right about that. His swing is so nice, and, you know, the fact that he had vision problems and he's still been a productive player is actually pretty incredible. But that is a decision I don't envy having to make, because you can't send anybody down. There's really nobody to send down, and there's nowhere to play him at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually kind of funny to think that there's still an embarrassment of riches after the rash of injuries that they've gone through. So now, you know, I just want to kind of like work through what the potential problem that we have. Well, maybe not even a problem. It's a good problem to have. So I know that Andujar took was getting some work at first base, but he hasn't really hurt them. And you don't really want to, you know, I don't think that the Yankees brass want to send that type of message throughout the organization. Like, we're going to move you if, you know, our guy is there. So has Andujar played any time at first base in actual game action? Or is that just like, you know, warm-ups before the game?
No, he he used to work out at first base a little bit on the field before the games, before last year in AAA. I believe that he used to do that in AA as well. And I'm trying to remember, I don't know if he got in at first base with the Yankees this year. I know he did in spring training, and I think that was the first time he ever got game action there. I cannot see them putting him at first base, even though that he'd probably be pretty decent over there because it's really his throwing arm that's the problem in terms of fielding. Since he's a young player who projects to be your starting third baseman for years to come, I cannot see them wanting to move him and move him out of his comfort zone when he's still trying to learn the majors and how to hit major league pitching. You don't want to put any extra stress on him because that's not going to help him in the long run. It's not going to help his development in the long run, and it's not going to help the team in the long run. So if you're going to put anybody at first base, it's going to be Drury. But again, how do you move Tyler Austin from that spot?
Yeah, honestly. Now it's going to create even more headache because now you need that lefty bat off the bench. But Neil Walker really hasn't been hitting. Do you really think that the Yankees would DFA him this early?
I'm going to say no. I think that that would be probably the right move right now because he's the only one who hasn't earned a spot. But you can't just pay a guy $5 million and then, in mid-May say, sorry, but you just didn't cut it. That would be the right move, but you just can't do it, especially to a veteran. But I mean, this is so reminiscent of Stephen Drew when the Red Sox signed him in like June. He missed all that spring training time, and he was never the same hitter after that. And obviously, the Yankees saw that up close. But I can't see them doing it just for that part of it, but just the money side of it. But I think that it's almost safe to say that unless he really turns it around, he's probably going to get DFA'd eventually.
Yeah, for sure. Because we all know that Neil Walker is a professional hitter. He's a pro. You just, look at the back of his baseball card. But his timing just looks off. And he's making a lot of soft contact. And, he's playing out of position. He's, going too far to his right at first base, not calling off Sanchez on pop-ups. So it's just really, I wanted to turn around. He got an RBI knock today, so hopefully that'll get him to, that'll get him back on track. But yeah, Drury is definitely coming back because Cashman loves Drury. But so the Yankees made a bunch of roster moves. So we already talked about Justice Sheffield being promoted to AAA. Tyro Estrada got his promotion too. So how has Tyro looked in the beginning, even though I know that it's still fairly new?
Yeah, so far so good. It's for Tyro, I think he really just needs the at-bats, and then he's probably going to be one of the more valuable players for this Rail Riders roster this year. I mean, he really is an underrated player in the Yankee system, and I got a chance to talk to Bobby Mitchell about him a week or two ago, and he flat out said he was my MVP for the Trent Thunder last year. I mean, that's the type of player he is. So far, he's still trying to get his timing back. He only has one hit in 13 at-bats for the Rail Riders. But, that's something I don't think I would be concerned about, considering, one, this is his first time in AAA, and two, he got shot in the hip like 2 months ago. So it's something that he just needs more at-bats. But he's a guy that, if it weren't for Gleyber and Duhar, Drury, probably would have had a shot to make